Good morning. Good to see you today. This is the day that the Lord has, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. We believe, God, that he's going to do something today, supernatural, that every one of you will be transformed, that there will be a change of your heart and guide and your direction, and that God will bless you and increase you and enlarge you in a greater and more powerful way. Say you receive that. Turn to somebody else and tell them, I receive it for you too. And thank you. Go ahead and have a seat for a minute, and I'm going to have you stand back up. And then don't complain when I have you stand back up. Just rejoice that you can get back up. Because you can get back up. Amen. And we just believe, God, that when you do stand back up this next time, that you can burn at least 2.5 calories. Pastor Woodrow, or Dr. Woodrow Walker, is a great man of God. You guys are so blessed to have such a great leader as Dr. Woodrow Walker. Come on, I'm talking about it. You're just blessed to have a great leader like this. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. And, I've been pastoring as of Dr. Woodrow, both of us. Mine was on March the 9th, so we celebrated our 38th year anniversary. So we've been knowing each other for decades. And so I noticed he didn't want to use the word decade because he's still trying to hold on to 49. So, but he's a great man, and I appreciate your getting up and clapping and recognizing him, because as far as I'm concerned, you can't honor your man of God enough. You can't honor them enough for the sacrifice, the work that they do, the attacks and the things that come against them. Anytime you can recognize them and honor them, I think that that is something that just glorifies God more than you can know. But how many of y'all know, I'm just talking to this side right now, how many of y'all know that Pastor Woodrow Walker, as great as man of God as he is, he wouldn't be nothing if it wasn't for Elder Francine. Wouldn't be nothing if it wasn't for that girl. Come on, y'all. Come on. Amen, amen, amen. We salute you, girl. Now, somebody going to say, well, how do you know this, Pastor Godot? Well, part of my resume that it did not say in there is that I've been married for 45 years. 45 years. To one woman. I ain't had, two or three. Just one woman. That's it. That's her right there on the front row, looking fine, looking good. Come on, Brenda, stand up, baby. Let them see you. That's my girl. That's my girl. Almost ran down here and ran over there to kiss her. She's looking so good to the brother. Amen. I'm going to restrain myself for right now. But she blessed me with 3 children. I got one for the Father, one for the Son, and one for the Holy Ghost. And no more. In Jesus' name. Amen. They all saved. They all work for me. I'm so thankful for my children, for my wife. 45 years, she did a great work in my life, training me, teaching me, rebuking me, counseling me. Thank God for a wife. Amen. So I appreciate her. I am what Brenda has made me to be. That's what she tells everybody. Okay. But anyway, thank you so much and for the invitation to be here to celebrate with you for this 38th year anniversary. My church is in shock today because they didn't know I wasn't going to be there. They in shock, but I'm here, and I'm really excited. I've been very much blessed with fellowshipping with the Walkers and what God is doing. We just had a great time. I thought it was interesting, the ladies went shopping yesterday. They left us after lunch, and they went shopping. And what they did is when they hit the mall, Francine went one way, and Brenda went the other way. They split up. That's shopping now. with some intent. Then they want to come back and find out what each of them got. Anyway, praise the Lord. Okay. Anyway, I have some product out at the table out there, and if I get a chance today, because I'm going to be here back at 4 o'clock for the 4 o'clock service. This is my brand new book. This book just came out. Somebody say just came out. I mean just came out. I haven't even introduced it to my own church. So they haven't even got a chance because it came out on Thursday. And I really wanted it. I felt that God had me to put this book, and I've been working on it, but I wanted it out when I came here, and they told me they couldn't do it. I said, that is not even in the vocabulary. You can't do it. Anyway, this book is my new book called The Battle Against Unity. Somebody say that. There's a battle against unity in your family, in your businesses. Come on, y'all. In this church, in every area, there's a battle against unity. And you better understand it, which hinders God's supernatural miracle working power from working. I think I'm going to do a little teaching of this one here at the 4 o'clock service today, if that's all right. Thank you for saying yes. And then this is one of the books. I did a teaching to the men yesterday. Any men here today that was there yesterday? Yeah, you were supposed to say something like, hoorah, you know, say something manly. Don't just raise your hand. Women do that. Say something manly. Any of the men here with me yesterday? Love y'all too. Amen. This is a book, one of my books I did, a teaching. I travel all across the country and really doing men conferences. And this one was one that had one of the major effects called The Power of Validation. Most men have never been validated by a father, and only a father can validate a son. Most daughters have never been validated by a father. The problem that we have in society today is a lack of validation. And this is one of my newest books, too. This one just came out this year, too, called Prayer is Taught, Not Caught. It's taught, not caught. In other words, I came out of a church. They never taught on prayer, but they prayed. And so we just prayed what we heard everybody else pray. They didn't know what they was praying, and so we was praying like they was. Nobody knew. I mean, so we wasn't getting answers to prayer. You need to learn how to be taught. God obligated himself to his what? Word. So we need to learn how to pray the word. This is one of my all-time selling books called Who Offended You and Stop You from Receiving Your Miracle. Turn to your neighbor and tell him you need to buy 10 of those. And this is another one of my all-time selling books, which the military bought thousands of them and gave them out in the military to the different soldiers, different branches called Where Are the Fathers? How many of you know we got a father crisis? We had a father crisis, and the problem is a lot of women want to marry a man, but when they get married, they find out they married a male because they never let him mature to be a man. Because being a man is by choice. So I got this book here is called Where Are the Fathers? Also, I have a workbook that goes with it. Now, the issue with this book is, you want to ask me what the issue is? Men don't buy them. So usually the ladies got to buy them for the man and then set them around there and keep them around place until they finally pick it up. Or just start reading it to him while he's shaving and cleaning or doing something. But it's life-changing. I've been on all kind of television stations, all kind of different things about this teaching on Where Are the Fathers. Fatherlessness is the biggest problem in our society today. Everything that we deal with is behind the breakdown of the family. There's no such thing as the modern family. It is the family. Okay, let me stop. Whew. Then this book, this teaching I got on trust, everybody, the power of trust. In other words, most people are dealing with a trust factor. That's why faith is not working, because all of us have been hurt. We've all been through different changes in our life, and therefore, because we've never dealt with the trust factor, God said, I'm not a man that I should lie. Come on. Nor the son of man that I should repent. If I said it, I'm going to what? Do it. So you can't put God on the same level, but sometimes we don't even realize we're doing it, and we're still holding on to old past hurts and relationships, abandonment issues, trust factors have been broken, and we're never really moving our life forward. Anyway, that's enough. And then expecting kingdom manifestations, the power that I did on waiting while you are expecting. Turn to somebody and tell them you need 6 of those copies. Amen. All right. Thank you very much, sir. You did a great job. Didn't he do a great job? You did a great job. So I'm just going to act like I'm at home. Francine told me, or Elder Francine told me to, either way I want to go, okay, told me to act like I'm at home, so I'm just going to be at home. Is that all right? Okay, I want you to stand to your feet then, raise your Bible up, and don't complain. And or your mobile device, whatever you have, you know, nowadays it's the mobile device. Raise them up high. Say this with my loud. Say, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I could do what it says I could do. I can have what it says I can have. Today, this day, after receiving the Word of God, I will never be the same again. It'll lift me up out of darkness into the light, out of poverty into wealth, out of sickness into health, out of defeat into victory. I declare it. I decree it. And I shout about it. Hallelujah. Now, before you be seated, turn around to 5 people and tell them life goes better when God is first. Tell them life goes better when God is first. Amen. Y'all got a little excited about shaking them hands again there, huh? All right, y'all can calm down now. Have a seat for a minute, okay. Did y'all hear the story about little Johnny? Did y'all hear about little Johnny? You didn't hear about little Johnny? Little Johnny was a bad little boy. But little Johnny wanted a red bicycle for Christmas. Did y'all hear about that? Didn't hear about it? He wanted this red bicycle real bad, so he went to his mama and said, Mama, I want a red bicycle for Christmas. And his mama said, Johnny, you're not going to get a red bicycle for Christmas because you've been really bad. Everybody's complaining about how bad you are. He said, Mama, I've not been that bad. He said, Mama, I want a red bicycle. She said, well, you better go upstairs in your bedroom and you better talk to Jesus about him and write him a letter and tell him that you're not so bad. So he went upstairs, you know, sort of with a little attitude, but he went on upstairs, got on his knees and started trying to write out a little letter saying, you know, I'm not really that bad. I'm basically a decent boy. And after he looked at it, he said, well, that ain't the truth. So he tore that one up. And then he wrote another one out, you know, I've been working real hard to try to be a good boy. And then he looked at that one and said, that ain't the truth either. And he tore that one up. So he finally got up on his knees and got up on his feet. He ran down the stairs, ran into the kitchen and says, Mama, I'm going to church. She says, oh, my God, my prayers are being answered. And she said, Johnny, I'm fixing dinner, but you can't stay down there alone. I want you to get back here as quick as you can. He said, yes, Mama. So he ran into the church. And when he ran into the church, he came up to the steps and he kneeled to pray. And while he was there praying, he looked up to the left side of him, and there was Mary holding baby Jesus in her hand. And Johnny jumped up, ran over there to Mary, grabbed baby Jesus, took out ran out the church, ran down the street, ran into the house, ran up the steps, went into his bedroom, and he said, "Now, God, if you ever want to see your son again." Amen. 38 years, Cross Culture Church has been here plowing and working and doing, and we honor them and thank God for his miracle working power. 38 years. I looked up the number 38, and the number 38, watch this here, the number 38, if you got some, take some notes, it means joy. Can I just believe for something that this year, this 38th year, it's going to be more joy in this church than ever before. And the number 38 also represents optimism, that we're going to have more optimism, more expectancy, more people believing that some greater things can happen. Then the number 38 also represents courage. There's going to be a new courage in the church. Say amen. And then it also, watch this here, and then it also means material abundance. In other words, some of y'all getting ready to get blessed. Some new prosperity, some getting ready to come to some of y'all in here because you go here to Cross Culture Church. 38 years, joy, optimism, courage, material abundance. And it also means to receive the fruits of all your hard work and labor. 38 years mean to receive the fruits of all your hard work and labor. In other words, there's something getting ready to happen in the next 9 months of this year that is going to be overwhelming. Do I got any believers in here with me today? Something is getting ready to happen. Get your hands up right now. Raise them up. Father, thank you for these 38 years. Thank you for your miraculous, miracle-working power to bring joy like never before, a new spirit of optimism and courage and material abundance. And Father, thank you for them receiving the fruits of all their labor and hard work. Thank you for your miracle-working power for these 38 years. Let them receive everything that is due them. I call it in now. From the north, the south, come on, the east and the west, I command them to give it up. Turn it loose. Let it go. It's ours here at Cross Culture Church now in the name of Jesus. Come on. The one thing the enemy doesn't want is you to receive for all your hard work and labor. Turn with me in your Bible this morning to the book of Proverbs, the 29th chapter. You know what I tell people at Calvary Christian Center? I tell them, I said, never let a familiar scripture be familiar. Because once it gets to be familiar, you stop receiving revelation. And how many of y'all know that revelation is an ongoing process? Amen. How many of y'all have grown in your revelation of many different aspects? Amen. But here in the Word of God, what the enemy wants you to do is say, "Oh, I've heard that scripture. Oh, I know that scripture." And you really don't know it. You heard it. But now what God wants you to do is get a greater revelation of the Word. Proverbs 29 and verse 18 is a powerful scripture. And it says, "And where there is no what?" Come on, everybody. Where there is no what? Where there is no vision, the people perish. Perish. And if you don't have that underlined, I'd appreciate if you can have underline that. I don't know if y'all give me, do you have where I can get other passages? Is that possible? I want to get this out the Message Bible in just a minute. It says, "Well, where there is no vision, the people perish." Now watch what it says here. "But he that keepeth." Would you put brackets around the word "keepeth"? He that keepeth, to protect it, to guard it, to for which your life, he that keepeth the law. Now, it said the law, but I'm going to insert in there, or the vision, because that's what he's talking about. They've been talking about, he that keepeth the vision, what's the next word? Happy. Say it loud. Happy. That word happy means fulfilled, prosperous, and blessed, satisfied. That word, so he says, he that keepeth, guards, and protects the vision, happy, fulfilled, and satisfied is he or is she. So one of the things that the enemy doesn't want you to do is to be a vision protector. Are you with me? A vision protector. You know, in every church, I like to believe in every church in America, that God has given a vision to the man of God, and that it is your job as a church to catch a hold of that vision. And when you run with that vision, can I just tell you something? Then God starts bringing provision into your life because you are holding up the vision. Don't y'all all get excited at the same time? We might have an explosion in here. Huh? There's when you catch a hold of the vision, so the really responsibility of everybody when they come to any church that they go to, you need to find out what is the vision of the house. Because when I find out what the vision of the house, then see what God wants you to do is to wrap your arms around that vision, because in that vision, God is going to bring out your gifts, your talents, your potential, and then he's going to bless you. So what the enemy doesn't want is for you to be able to grab the vision. He doesn't mind people to come to church and sit in a church. But what he tries to do is keep you in the pews from being involved in what God has for that church to fulfill. There is a mandate on this ministry. There's a mandate on this ministry. And God wants this ministry to be the impact ministry that impacts not only this little region around here, but impacts this whole state. Come on, y'all. Come on, impacts the whole state and the United States of America and around the world. This is not a community church. This is a world outreach ministry. Where there is, come on, y'all, say it. Where there is no what? Vision, the people perish. You know what one translation says? The people are stripped naked. See, what the enemy tries to do, if he can't stop you from going to church, what he doesn't want you to do is to go to a church that has a, that's the only word y'all got to remember today. All right? So look at me like you're excited about saying that word. So that when he wants to try to stop you from going to a church that has a vision. Because if you'll get a hold of the vision is going to transform your life. Y'all with me? Okay. So vision is the purpose of the church's existence. The whole purpose why this ministry, cross-cultural church, is here is because of the vision to reach everybody for the kingdom. Come on, not just a few people, but everybody of all different nationalities, different economic levels and everything is to reach everybody. Somebody shout out, everybody. Did y'all just feel that? Y'all ain't used to nobody from California, I can tell. Y'all ain't used to nobody from California. You know, we are a little more aggressive in California. Y'all all right? Okay, so you listen to me. Where there is no vision, the people what? Or they're stripped naked. The ones that are now not running with the vision. So where there's no vision, the people perish. But then is it but happy? But he that keepeth, guards and protects it, holds on to it, happy and fulfilled and blessed is that person that gets it. So now our job is to find out what is cross-cultural ministry. What is it about church? What is it about? And making sure that I can put my hand somewhere in there and get involved so then God's blessing would be greater on my life. Say amen. Amen. So look what the Message Bible says. Look what the Message says. Is it up there yet? There you go. It says, if people can't see what God is doing, if people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. What is going on? Come on, y'all. What's going on in society? What's going on in churches today? If they can't see the vision, so what is under attack in cross-cultural church? The vision is under attack. When the vision is under attack, it means that you're under attack. Because the enemy is trying to keep the vision, because the vision brings glory and honor to God. Look what it says here. Look what it says. If the people can't see God doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they, what? Attend to what? What it reveals, they are most blessed. Turn to somebody and tell them, I declare he's talking about you as being the most blessed. Come on, tell him you are most blessed. Come on, shout it at him. Tell him you are most blessed. I'm just telling you right now that this time next year, for the 39th year anniversary, that this church is going to be so transformed and so changed, because you're going to be changed, because you catch a hold of what God has given to this house, and it is about vision. See, when you run with vision, God is running with you. See, God imparts everything he wants to do into your life because you recognize the recognition of the man of God and what God has given him to fulfill. He can't do it himself, so God brings you in to hold up his hands. To hold up his hands, so then in the process, God blesses you. All right? Now, the problem happens is that when we don't understand this here, look at me in Habakkuk. Oh God, I know it's gonna take y'all a little while. Habakkuk, look at me in Habakkuk. I put this down in my notes. We need to learn how to look up instead of looking down. Society's got you looking down, and God wants you to look up. Vision helps you to look up. So looking down instead of looking up, vision is about looking up, seeing your future, and not looking at your past any longer. See, most people live in their past that are living in their future. How many of y'all believe that God's got something bigger for you than where you are right now? Wow, look at y'all. Come on. I'm telling you, and I'm here to be a part of helping you to get there. I'm telling you, your future is so much bigger, so much greater than where you are right now, and cross-cultural church has a lot to do with what God is getting ready to do in your life. Okay, where did I tell you to go? Habakkuk? They got it up to Habakkuk 2? Put up Habakkuk 2, and look with me in Habakkuk 2, and look at verse 1. Man, I'm telling you, I'm so excited. My excited is excited. You ever been excited when you're excited is excited? How many of y'all ever had your excited get excited? Man, when you get excited, everything starts happening. Okay, Habakkuk 2 and 2. Are you there? Look what it says, Habakkuk 2 and 2. And it says, I will stand up on my watch and set me up on the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me. And what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said what? Come on, everybody. Said what? Write the vision and make it what? Plain up on the tables or CDs and all the other stuff. And that he may what? Run that read it. Would you please underline that part? He that may run that read it. So what does God want all of you to be doing? Running with what? See, that y'all got it over here, okay? Because you'll be running with the vision, because the vision brings everything together. Say that. The vision brings everything together in your life. When you have a vision for what God has given to this church, you know what God's going to do? He's going to give you a vision for something else. See, when you have a heart to try to help something else, God will also give you something to take care of you over and above on the area. God is a good God. And so God's blessing is wanting you to be able to catch a hold of the vision. I put this down in my notes, and that is that when you don't have vision, you become lax, lazy, loose, and crazy. Can women say that one more time? Did they got it on the screen yet? No, they ain't jumping up here. Okay. When you don't have vision, somebody say when you don't have vision, you become lax, lazy, loose, and crazy. Now turn around to somebody and tell them, now I know the reason about some things. I got the answer now. I got the answer now. I know the reason for some things now. Huh? When you don't, the enemy just wants you to be able to be lax or loose or what? Okay, all right. So look, Habakkuk says, write the vision that they may upon the tables, and he says that they may run that read it. See, God wants us running with it. He wants us to be, it's a part of our life. So like I heard, I think the couple on the video, and they were saying how they came to this ministry because somebody else invited them. They had the vision. They encouraged them. See, that was the vision speaking. They were sharing it with somebody. They were encouraging them. Come to the Bible study. Get in the choir. Get on the dance group, the praise team, the group. Work that thing. Do something, you know. Come on, y'all. Are y'all with me? See, find out where is it that God wants you to be supporting. This year, next year, every one of y'all should be so much more blessed, so much more prosperous in every area of your life because you're running with the vision of the house. My God, did anybody feel that beside me? Am I the only one excited up here? Man, I'm telling you, things are getting ready to, excuse me, I know this hasn't came to this side here, but things are getting ready to start cracking. Getting ready to cracking. Now, in, you know, the regular vocabulary, you say happening. Things getting ready to start happening. Okay. So he says, for the vision, look what it says in verse 3, for the vision is yet for an appointed what? Time. But at the end, it shall what? Speak and not what? Lie, though it what? Tarry, do what? Wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. You know, Brenda and I, at 38 years of pastoring too, you know, we've been through some hellish situations where the enemy has attacked us. No, we've got a large ministry. God has blessed us and we're impacted, but we've been through some real difficulties. I don't know about y'all here, but in California, our city was rated the number one foreclosure city in the United States. We had more foreclosures. I lost over 2,000 and something people left my church because they had lost their homes. They had lost their job because, you know, basically Sacramento is about federal jobs and state and city and local jobs and county. And everybody, all of them were in desperate trouble. About to think the city going to file for bankruptcy, the state. It was crazy. And people were just leaving. One Sunday morning, I went up and I must have lost my mind for a minute or something. Because I said, how many of y'all in here? Because, you know, the church was, you could throw a rock in there and not hit nobody. And it's a large sanctuary, but you couldn't hit nobody. It was just, and I just said to the people, how many of y'all in here don't have a job? You know, I was already dealing with some spirits of trying to depress me. And I shouldn't have never asked that question because the people that was left that had not shipped out, raise your hand up. Man, when them folks raised their hand up, I like to plummet into depression. Mostly over half or more of the ones that was left didn't have a job. Our finances had dropped over 50-something percent. And then I had to go back and say, you know, I had to remind myself. And the only thing that could help me was going back to the vision. See, I couldn't be moved by what I, or by what I heard or by my external situation. I had to be only moved by what God had gave me. and that I'm going through a crisis situation, but this is not going to be a permanent situation. Are you with me? I thank God for the people that stayed with me at that time, because people were talking about, look, it going down, they're going to lose this, they all the different things. And in the natural, we should have lost everything. But I went right back to doing what I'm talking right here, right now, because I'm sharing with you. This is the most important thing to me. I went back. I started calling my leadership in. I started calling all of my workers in, and I started imparting vision back into them again. This is why we're here. Which side should I go to? I don't. Okay, I just want to make sure y'all, because some of y'all ain't paying attention and some of y'all are, so I just want to make sure. I said, this is why we're here. Glory to God. I don't know about y'all, but I sort of feel it right now. This is why we're here. Don't you be moved by what is going on right now. Don't listen to what everybody else is saying, and don't let the enemies try to steal what God is trying to do. God is still in this house. God is still working right now. The enemy is warring, but God is still on the scene. Y'all remember Elijah? Remember Elijah and them? They was all camped around, and he woke up to get Gehazi woke up to get Elijah some coffee. And he went to go and get some coffee, and he looked up there and saw all them Syrian soldiers. And he said, you know, Elijah, you got to get up here and look here, man. He said, we surrounded. We're going to die here. Everything is going down. You know, how did you even let me get in this group with you, Elijah? And then Elijah got up and said, Lord, come on, y'all. Open his eyes. Open his eyes. Watch this here. Give him some vision. Let him see what he can't see right now. He's walking in the natural. He's still talking like the old man. But let him know that I'm still bigger than any situation that's going on. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm bigger than any situation. And when I gave you vision, I gave you vision to win, to overcome, to defeat every work of the enemy. The enemy doesn't want cross-cultural church to succeed. He wants to try to stem it, try to hold it back. But I'm telling you, this 38th year is your greatest year. I said it's your greatest year. And God's got some things he wants to do this year that's going to be mind-blowing as you catch a hold of the vision. I went back and started sharing the vision, started talking about it. All of a sudden, new people started coming in. People who had left and moved someplace else and bought a house, decided this ain't where I'm supposed to be, sold their house and came back to California. And all of a sudden, now people coming in, the finances that was down at the bottom, we should have lost everything. I own almost $100 million worth of property. And you know what? Didn't lose one piece of property. Not one piece of property. Man, I just got back. I'm just testifying. Can I testify? I just got back into what God said. See, it wasn't about Philip Godot and it wasn't about Woodrow Walker. It's about what God said to this house. And I just started going back. Now, God, you said this is the vision you gave for us. This is what you want us to do. And Lord, I'm going to work this vision, or I'm going to stand up and tell everybody what you said wasn't true. Now people fighting to come in. I do 4 services on Sunday now. I have a church that seats about 3,500 people. I do 4 services on Sunday, and I do 4 midweek services. I'm on vacation here. Hallelujah. So let me just talk about, because there's so much more. Go with me to Genesis real quickly. Let me go to Genesis. Genesis, the 13th chapter. See, if you can believe, how many of y'all know that? If you can believe it, you can receive it. How many of y'all believe you can believe it, you can receive it? The biggest thing the enemy wants to try to do is to bring some kind of doubt and unbelief into your life to make you think your marriage ain't going to work, Your children are going to be messed up. You're never going to have the finances you need or whatever doubt he can bring. But you as a believer should know that God is bigger than your situation. David and everybody else measured Goliath according to themselves, but David measured Goliath according to the size of his God. How many of y'all know God is bigger than any of your situations? And so is the vision. The vision is bigger. Somebody shout out, it's bigger than any situation. Let me put down a couple things here real quickly, if they can put them on the screen. Three things that hinder the vision. Three things that hinder us when we lack vision. Three things that hinder us when we lack vision. The lack of vision causes us to create and make excuses, blame others, rationalize our current condition. I'm going to say it again. When three things that hinder us when we lack vision is that when the lack of vision causes us to create and make excuses. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Blame others, rationalize our current situation. When you see somebody who lacks vision, they're always wanting to complain and make excuses why this ain't happening, how come this is not happening. But what they need to do is just shut their big mouth up and get some vision. So sometimes somebody starts trying to tell you why this can't happen. Pastor Woodrow is asking us to do this. I can't see this and that. Tell them to say, shut up and get some vision. Do it politely, though, because if they lack in vision, they might fight you, too. Another point of lack of vision, a lack of vision causes us to see what we can't do, but rather than what we can do. When we lack vision, we only can see what we can't do rather than what we can do. You're focusing what can't happen than what God can do. And so we need to understand that God wants us to be vision-minded. Here in Genesis, the 13th chapter, you know what I wish? Only one said something was my wife. I'm going to say it again. Y'all know what I wish? I wish that y'all would just let me have the rest of the day to work y'all over. In love, because this is so important. I got so much stuff to be able to help bring forth transformation. If you lack vision in a marriage, the luster, the excitement, and what happens, it starts crystallizing, fossilizing. In anything you do, in business, when people lack the vision, the importance of understanding the vision of the ministry. So, that's good. Y'all got it up there. All right. And then so in Genesis 13, verse 14, he said, and the Lord said unto Abram, after Lot was separated from him, he said, lift up now your what? And look from the place where thou art, northward, southward, eastward, and what? Westward. So Abraham now is going through a crisis. He's getting a crisis. His nephew Lot had now been separated from him. Things are going to be changed, different. But then God tells him, Abraham, don't look at what's going on right now. What is God always trying to do? What is he always trying to do? Give you vision. Because vision is what's going to lead you and get you to where God wants you to do. That's why God gives vision to a man of God. And that's why the people of the church got to catch a hold of what God is saying to their man of God. Thank you for that big amen. No, that's all right. Y'all keep that one. You're going to keep that one. Look what it says here. And it says northward. And he says southward, eastward, and westward. Verse 15. Let's read verse 15 together. 1, 2, 3. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. Everything you can see. Watch this. If you can see it, come on, y'all, you can have it. See, what I see in Sacramento, California, I see overflow. I see overflow. I see not having any kind of financial lack. I see people coming from every direction. more than enough. I see God doing signs and wonders and miracles and manifesting his power. I see God getting all the glory and honor out of our church. Come on, y'all. I see in cross-cultural church here, no room enough for the people. Come on, multiple, more than one, two services, multiple other services. Let's just work this 49-year-old guy. Let's just work him, Lord. This 49-year-old guy, let's just work him, Lord. Come on, 49, he can work a lot harder. See, but when you got vision, you know what happens when you have vision? You talk about it. You can always talk about people who have vision because they're talking about what God is leading them to do, what's going on. When you're around somebody that don't have no vision, all they want to talk about is their problem, how bad it is. Oh, girl, it's getting worse. You know, one guy came up to me at one time and told me, and said, man, he said, there is no good women. Can you believe that? Can I just believe God that there's some good women here at the cross-cultural church? There's some good women in this church. You know why he said that? Because he's had some bad experiences. So now he's gonna put all the women in a box. You know what? When he finds another one, he's gonna have another bad one. Because when you're negative, you only draw negative things to you. Somebody said, well, how come I keep getting bad men? Because you bad. Y'all with me? Yeah. One man came to me and said, I'm getting ready to get married for the 10th time. I said, 10 times? He said, yeah, I've been married 10 times. All 10 of them was bad. I mean, all 9 of them was bad. I'm going to get me one from overseas. There's no good ones in America. They all messed up. Well, I'm coming back on this side. What is the common denominator with them? You better slow down right now, girl. You slow down. That girl got excited. You're right. He's the problem. He's the problem. Out of 9 wives, and you're going to say all of them are bad? Listen to me. I'm going to stand up against that. You know what? Now, you might have one or two bad ones. Usually when you get a bad one, she's demon-possessed. Because most women are good women. They good women. And a woman only has one desire, to make her man reach his peak potential. Y'all missed a good time to say y'all. No. All y'all ladies, some of y'all single ones, if you'd have said something then, God probably brought somebody to you, but yeah, all right. Yeah, you should have been jumping up. Yes! Yes! I want to help him reach his peak potential. When we under, no, it's too late. A lot of people I call are vision impaired. Look with me in Mark the 10th chapter. Mark the 10th chapter, vision impaired. You know, you ever, football. They watch the quarterbacks how that when they're under pressure and the defensive line is coming at them to try to get the quarterback and sack him, and they're looking at the quarterback that when he's under pressure, how he's able to look over the whole field. And they say, you know what they say about a quarterback that knows how to read the whole field and can look over it under pressure? They say he got vision. That's the guy we want. We want somebody that got vision, that when you're under pressure, you're still looking. You're still knowing there's a play going to come out of this. Something going to happen out of this situation. I'm under pressure. They want to kill me, but I'm going to release this ball. Y'all with me? So, where did I tell you to go? Mark 10. Look with me in Mark 10, 46. Mark 10, 46 says, and they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great number of people what? A great number of people what? Look what it says here. I'm going to get got it right here. A great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side, what? Begging. Now, what was his issue? What was his problem? Blind Bartimaeus, that's a good signal for you to catch that one. Blind Bartimaeus. He was blind, and he's on the wayside watching or not watching, but everything in life is passing him by. You know, when you don't have vision, you're just on the roadside. You're just on the side. And things that God wants to do is because you're vision impaired. And what the enemy wants to do is to cause you to be vision impaired. Well, you know, I don't agree with that. I think that the pastor can't, he's dreaming too big. That's going to cost us too much money. You know what Dr. Cho said? Dr. Cho said, show me your vision, I'll show you your future. See, when you get a hold of vision and understanding, I can show you the future of Cross Culture Church as everyone in here grabs a hold of the vision. One man said, never let your vision govern your budget, but let your budget be governed by your vision. Helen Keller, y'all remember her? They said, what could be being worse, born blind? Huh? Being born blind and dumb? And she said, to be born with sight and have no vision. See, what God gives to us is vision that he can be able to work in your life. Somebody said, hey, things ain't working for me. Why God ain't doing this and that? See, are you running with the vision of the house? So he's on the side of the road. Blind Bartimaeus is on the side of the road. And look what it says here. On the side of the road, and he's begging. You know, that's what people without vision do. Oh, I got to be careful when I say this. I want to come back maybe one next decade or so. But people without vision are always looking for handouts. They're always looking for somebody to give them something. Let's go back to that song. You made a way. All right, y'all don't want to help me. All right, I'll let it go. Begging on the side of the road. Look what it says here. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should, what? Hold his peace. Watch this here. As soon as you start making up your mind, you're going to start getting involved. You're going to start doing what you can to help Cross Culture Church to be the church that God has called for to be. When we're dealing with so many issues in society today, divorces, listen to me, people that now don't even decide consider marriage to be really something important anymore. When you deal with the area of sex trafficking and drug issues, and when you come on, y'all. When you're dealing with the homeless issue, mental illness, and all the things that are going on, the reason why it's happening because most people in churches today are not running with the vision of the God has given to their man of God. So we'll come to church, but we won't do anything to help build the church. And then we say, God, why aren't you healing me? And God, why aren't you blessing me? Why don't you do this? And why is my child this? Well, I just want, then what are you doing? Okay, now I'm here, I then went off. What are you doing to make it happen for God? What are you doing to help make a difference? Boy, y'all better be glad I can't sing. When we understand this here, the vision affects every area of our life, in a positive way when you run with vision, but when you lack vision, it affects your life in every area in a negative way. Come on, y'all. That's why the enemy doesn't want you to have vision, because it's positive and it affects your life in a positive way. But when you lack vision, you're toned to be negative, and that negativity affects your life in a lot of negative way. So you're saying, well, things are not happening for me. And I'm just telling you, then it's time to get a tune-up. We'll just call this the tune-up service right here, or the realignment place. Come on, come on, your deliverance today. Because God's trying to take every one of you. Somebody say everyone.
Everyone.
That wasn't every one of y'all saying everyone. How many of y'all? Every one of you. God's trying to take every one of you to a place you have never been before. And he wants to take this church to a place it's never been before. And it comes to you making a commitment. I'm not going to just be a part of the church, but I am going to be the church. I'm going to be the church. So when we come to this place and understand that how vision, Bartimaeus was on the side of the road, he begging, he's immobilized. So when you don't have vision, you're immobilized, you're not able to function, do things that you normally would be able to do. So the key to vision is doing something. I don't just have the vision, I'm going to do something. Vision demands action. Shout at somebody and say, it demands action. It demands action. And then when you start getting vision, look at what's happened. When you start getting vision, you get Jesus' attention. What did Blind Bartimaeus do? He's on the side of the road begging and everything. Life is passing him by, but all of a sudden he heard of Jesus, that Jesus could give him what? Sight. Come on, y'all over here. He could give him what? Sight. What is another word for sight? Vision. And so what happened, he believed he could get some vision. He was tired of life passing him by. He was tired of being immobilized. He was tired of just begging and hoping somebody was going to buy and give him something. See, God, that is not God's best. God's best is that you will get a hold of what his vision is, and that you will grab a hold of it, and that you will run with it. You'll get positive so God can cause heaven to manifest in your life. It's big. Oh, my goodness. Oh, I got to stop. I'm out of time. But I'm just telling you, you got to get this thing. You got to recognize it. Matthew, the 6th chapter, I think it's verse 22. I don't know if they could put it on the screen for me. I think it's verse 22, Matthew 6, 22. If you can put that on the screen for me. Look what it says here. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thy eye be single, thy whole body is full of light. If your eye be positive, your whole body be positive. If you have vision, your whole life is going to be governed by vision. So what is the enemy trying to do? Make you vision impaired. Look what the next verse, verse 23, and I'm going to stop right there. Verse 23, and it says, but if thy eye be evil, and what God calls the evil eye is one that has no vision. Have no vision. It says, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore thy light that is in thee be darkened. Maybe at one time you was running with vision. Maybe one time you was excited about what God was doing. Now you're just hanging on. How great is that darkness? Life is about running with vision. Life is about being in the center of the heart of God. And then it's about getting the vision, guarding it, protecting it, and not let nobody make you ashamed of being able to support the kingdom of God, or make you ashamed for what you believe, what God has called your church to do. Thank you for your time. Hallelujah. Join your neighbor next to you by the hand real quickly, if y'all don't mind.
If y'all don't mind, join your neighbor next to you by the hand. Lift them up real quickly. Father, we just lift up everyone in here today. We thank you for your miracle working power, that cross-cultural church will be transformed more than we have ever seen a church be transformed, because there's transformation taking place in this house now. There's the renewing of the mind is taking place now. And we thank you, Father, for your name being glorified in and through every person in this church today, in this house today. Lord, cause them to run. Cause them to run with vision. Cause them to run with the vision of this house. And Father, manifest your power and your presence in their family, in their finances, in their health, in their children, in their careers, in everything they do. Cause the blessing, the blessing, the blessing to be upon them like never before, because they're taking care of your vision and you're taking care of them. Bless them, bless them, bless them in the name of
Jesus.
Come on, shout out, in the name of
Jesus.
Now give a big shout real quickly here. Oh, yes, y'all just knew what I know. You're getting more excited because God's hand is on your life right now more than ever before. Go ahead and have a seat. Bow your head, please. No one else moving around for me, please. My goodness. So, Father, we pray for everyone in here today. We thank you for your word accomplishing everything you sent it out to do. And we thank you for it prospering in every way that you sent it. Thank you that we declare and we decree that it has fallen on the good ground of every person's life in here. And it will produce some 30, 60, and 100-fold return. It will manifest in their lives beyond they could ever think or imagine. Thank you for them grabbing the vision, catching the vision, and running with it. And thank you for their greatest desires and needs being met over and above this year in the next 9 months. And as they move forth into 2019, let them see your glory in 2019 and then in 2020 until your glory's return.